thank you for the privilege of being with you today. Let's look at James chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. Be patient and pray. And you can find these studies on abideinchrist.com, 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 and go to sermons and Bible studies. The Apostle James is addressing Christians who are feeling low and depressed because of persecution for their faith in Jesus Christ in James chapter 5, verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Then he must pray. Is anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. To better understand this passage, we need to ask, along with John MacArthur, some basic questions. What kind of suffering does James have in view in verse 13? What type of sickness is in view in verse 14? Why are the prayers of the elders different from those of other believers in verses 14 and 15? What is the anointing with oil described in verse 14? Does the prayer of faith in verse 15 always restore the sick? How does sickness relate to sin in verse 15? What type of healing is in view in verse 16? Why does James insert an illustration about rain in verses 17 and 18 in the middle of a discussion of healing? In verses 13 through 18, James admonishes us to be patient and pray. One of the basic principles for dealing with our emotional reactions to pressure is to acknowledge and fully experience whatever emotions we're experiencing at any given moment. And those individuals going through persecution need to participate in a lot of prayer and praise because it strengthens the spirit when under pressure. James says, pray. Prayer and suffering go together. And James mentions prayer 7 times in verses 13 through 18. Suffering has a wider use of meaning than bodily sickness. It's used for suffering hardships of a good soldier in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verses 3 and 9 and chapter 4 verse 5, including any kind of illness of body or mind, and is literally having hard experiences. That's included in the expression. The New English Bible reads, it is in trouble, whether physical or mental. The answer is found in praying. Let him pray as a habit, it's present tense, continue to pray daily. Talk to God as if he was not even aware of it. Express your feelings to him. Prayer is a proper outlet of emotion in Luke chapter 22, verses 39 through 46. And then he says, sing. If you are cheerful, is not necessarily free from trouble, but cheerful in spite of pain. The proper response to cheerfulness is to sing praises. We find this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, and 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15. Give expression to the high spirits in singing praise to the Lord God. Make melody with a whole heart to the Lord. Pour the soul out toward God in rich praise with instruments and voice. Our worship ought to lead to changes in our lives. Express your religious emotion in prayer and praise to the Lord God. Well, the Apostle James says, give praise. The word praise originally meant to play on a stringed instrument. The verb is used 4 times in the New Testament. Sing praises and play on a harp. Give expression to God's sustaining grace. Well, it tells us in verses 14 and 15, pray and take your medicine. If anyone is sick, take your medicine and pray. We find this in James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Who is sick? The word for sick, asthenio, to be weak, without strength, is translated sick 18 times in the New Testament. But it's also used 14 times to refer to emotional or spiritual weaknesses. In all but three, asthenio's appearance in the epistles does not refer to physical illness. Asthenio in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, is especially noteworthy, since it there describes weakness produced by the sufferings of life. In a similar context, its usage in the present tense. The word is also used of Jesus when he healed the sick and raised the dead and cleansed the lepers and cast out demons in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. James' compassionate pastoral care for his suffering flock has the main focus on the casualties in the spiritual battle, the persecuted, the weak, the defeated believers. John MacArthur writes in his commentary on James the following paragraph. James' concern is with the healing of spiritual weakness, the spiritual weariness, spiritual exhaustion, spiritual depression through prayer, as well as dealing with suffering and sin that accompanies it. In this section on how to help casualties of persecution through prayer fits perfectly into the flow of James' thought. Specifically, James discusses the relationship of prayer to comfort, restoration, fellowship, and power. James moves beyond the suffering believers of the previous point to address specifically those who have become weak by that suffering. The weak are those who have been defeated in the spiritual battle, who have lost the ability to endure the suffering. They are fallen spiritual warriors, the exhausted, weary, depressed, defeated Christians. They have tried to draw on God's power through prayer, but have lost motivation, even falling into sinful attitudes. Now, having hit bottom, they are not able to pray effectively on their own. In that condition, the spiritual weak need the help of spiritually strong. So James says, ask for help. The sick implies physical illness and suggests a form of illness that incapacitates a man for work. The sick person is to take the initiative to ask the elders to pray. Now, seek the help of Christian friends and leaders in the church. The connecting link between all the verses in this paragraph is the power of prayer. Well, James tells us in verse 14, ask the elders to pray over him. He must call for the elders of the church. These visitors are directed to pray over the sick person. The elder are persons advanced in years, men of authority in the synagogue, a congregation, and were to give pastoral oversight and direction to the local congregation. It's translated bishop, elders, overseers, pastors of the local church. They are not healers with the gift of healing. They're elders in the church, pastors in the church. Let him call the elders of the church and let them pray over him. Praying for the sick is clearly the issue in this verse. We need to keep in mind the doctors were extremely few in the first century. Their skills were very limited and they were very expensive. The important question is whether these elders come in an official capacity to perform the ecclesiastical anointing with holy oil, or whether they come to pray as brothers in Christ and rub olive oil as a medication. The prayer of faith in verse 15 is the only kind of prayer, because it is to trust the Lord God with full acknowledgement of God's power and love. God is not powerless to help. The wondrous laws of nature are all of God. Science has vastly increased our sense of wonder about God and His Word. And so the Father's hands rest upon all of us. He can be reached, and He is not far from any of us, and He loves us. So the forgiveness of sins does not correspond to the physical healing, verse 15. One does not follow the other. The cured man, convicted of his sins and out of gratitude to the Lord God for His goodness, repents of his sins and is forgiven. It's easy to repent when on a deathbed and then forget it when they get up and return home. Serious illness can be a good thing to listen to God. It is a good time to confess our sins to God and to one another. God deals with the root causes of our illnesses. This is not to say that, however, that there is a physical healing in the atonement. Clearly, the prophet Isaiah and Jesus were referring to the forgiveness of sins. The context of this verse refers to the spiritual healing, not physical healing. Peter makes it clear in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, "And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, and so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by His wounds you were healed." Now, what is the prayer of faith that heals the sick? The answer is found in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him." Nowhere is any gift of grace of God dependent upon a certain quality or measure of faith in the recipient. The great physician still lays his hands on whom he will, and he heals. It is an exercise of his sovereign right. There's no hint in the scriptures that the prayer of faith, provided the faith is the right kind or the right quality of faith, will always result in raising up of the sick. Jesus never implied that the faith must reach a certain standard before it will be rewarded. He insisted on true faith, the faith of a grain of a mustard seed, and nothing more. Even the most trembling faith was never rebuffed. Jesus encouraged the smallest faith. It is not true to the scriptures to say that a person's faith must reach a certain pitch to receive God's blessings. To imply the Apostle Paul, a man of faith, did not reach the level of prayer of faith for God to remove the thorn of the flesh is preposterous. The New Testament does not teach or even suggest that our faith must be psyched up or keyed up to a certain level before God will hear and answer. This is emotionalism, not faith. Didn't Paul have faith when he prayed to the Lord three times that the thorn would be removed in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10? Was Paul denied the miracle because he didn't have enough faith? Was it because he had unconfessed sin in his life? Was it because he didn't use the correct healing technique? Was it because Paul didn't have a special anointed healing cloth? No, none of these things. It is not his will that everyone be healed in this lifetime. Pray, take your medicine, and leave the results in God's hand. Medically, the Apostle Paul came to the acceptance that God was not going to heal him of the ailment because he had a greater healing which consisted in his sustaining grace. Jesus said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness." Now, Paul's acceptance of God's will without bitterness and resentment is seen in his response. "Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me." Paul had been used of God to heal others. Well, we see this in Acts chapter 20 and 28. but not in all cases, as we see in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23, and 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20, and Philippians chapter 2, verses 25 through 27. Why didn't the prayers of faith of the Apostle Paul effect healing in all of these cases? Didn't Paul do everything right? Faith is not demanding from God what we want. Making up your mind that you want something and hammering at the gate of heaven until God gives in and gives it to you is not faith. It's presumption. It amounts to childish spiritual temper tantrums. Faith healers and prosperity gospel adherents suggest that a person must make up his mind strongly enough about what he wants and then clamor loudly enough for it, and then your faith will bring the blessings down from heaven. That's not Christian faith. Faith is our response to the revealed will of God. It is a godlike trust in our Heavenly Father that He knows what is best for us, and He will provide according to His will. The supreme prayer of faith is, "Thy will be done." It is the submission to the will of God. Faith is seeking the Lord God's mind and obeying Him. If it is His will to heal the sick, He will lead His servants by His Spirit to utter the prayer of faith for the healing. Sometimes it's better to pray for God's best, which might not be physical healing, but for Him to relieve the pain and the suffering and to usher the saint into His presence in heaven. There's something more wonderful and greater than physical healing and prosperity. The most important request should be, "Thy will be done." Am I willing to receive His will, whether it is healing or something better? To not heal was better for Paul. God continues to heal by medical intervention and by divine intervention. However, God does not give us the privilege to command them by faith. Much current teaching in the contemporary church on the subject of spiritual healing rests on the false assumption that it's God's will that everybody should enjoy at all times perfect physical health. There's nothing in the New Testament to justify this assumption, and some evidence which points to the opposite direction is found in the New Testament. James admonishes the healing with the oil. In verse 14 he says, "Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." Use of anointing oil is well attested by the ancient writers. We find in Philo, Pliny, Galen, all praise the use of oil as medicine. Josephus, the Jewish historian, tells us that in Herod's terminal illness, a bath of oil was prescribed for him. Oil in Scripture was very common in treating illnesses, and the best known medicine in the ancient world was olive oil. Probably the elders came and anointed the oil, rubbed the man with oil as medicine, and prayed. No doubt women would do the same thing for the women. Warren Wiersbe writes, "It's not the anointing that heals, but the praying." The Greek word translated anointing is a medical term. It could be translated massaging or rubbing, and the word was commonly used for rubbing in ancient medical treatises. A.T. Robertson, the Greek scholar, said that there is no doubt as to the ancient opinion about and use of oil as medicine. It's probable that each one will decide this question according to his predilections. For my part, I incline to the view that we have here not a sacramental or priestly function on the part of these elders, but the double duty of ministry of the word and of medicine with prayer. The nearest parallel in modern life is the medical missionary, who goes with the word of life and healing balm of modern science. He heals the sick with the physician's skill and the prayer of faith. The Apostle Paul helped the sick at Ephesus and often healed the sick, and yet they worked side by side with Dr. Luke, the beloved physician, as we see in the island of Malta in Acts chapter 28. Alepho is the Greek word. The New Testament describes anointing one's head with oil, and the women's anointing of Jesus' body, Mary's anointing of the Lord's feet, and the anointing of the sick with oil. A.T. Robertson concludes, perhaps the best way to translate the phrase would be rubbing him with oil in the name of the Lord. It literally reads, after having oiled him. Here's an interesting observation by Ron Blue, writing in the Bible Knowledge Commentary. James said that the elders should pray over him and anoint him with oil. It's significant that the word anointed, rubbing with oil, is not ceremonial anointing. The former is the mundane word and the latter is the sacred and religious word. So therefore, James is not suggesting a ceremonial or ritual anointing as a means of divine healing. Instead, he's referring to the common practice of using oil as a means of bestowing honor, refreshment, grooming. The woman poured perfume on Jesus' feet. A host put oil on the head of his guest. A person who is fasting should not be sad and ungroomed, but should put oil on his head and wash his feet. And thus James' point is that the weak and the weary would be refreshed, encouraged, uplifted by the elders who rubbed the oil on the despondent persons and prayed for them. That the restoration is spiritual, not physical, is further clarified by the assurance, if he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Many physically ill Christians have called on elders to pray for them and to anoint them with oil, but a sizable percentage of them have remained sick. This fact suggests that the passage may have been mistakenly understood as physical restoration rather than spiritual restoration. John MacArthur has a similar statement emphasizing prayer as the theme of this section, not healing or anointing. As the context and the content of this section makes clear, the subject is not physical illnesses or healing. Instead, it concerns with the spiritual weakness, spiritual weariness, spiritual exhaustion, and spiritual depression through prayer, as well as dealing with the suffering and sin that accompanies it. To insert a discussion here on physical healing would be incongruous. Nothing in the preceding or following context would prepare James' readers for that. But a section on how to help the casualties of persecution through prayer fits perfectly into the flow of James' thought. Specifically, James discusses the relationship of prayer to comfort, restoration, fellowship, and prayer. J. Adams gives wise counsel also in this passage of Scripture. James did not write about ceremonial anointing at all. The word James used usually means to rub and simply to apply. The word alepho was used to describe the personal application of salves, lotions, perfumes, which usually had an oil base. It was used to speak of plastering walls. And alephtes was a trainer who rubbed down athletes in the gymnastic school. Alepho was used frequently in medical treatises. And so it turns out that what James required by the use of the oil was the use of the best medicine of the day. James simply said to rub oil on the body and pray. In this passage, he urged the treating of the sickness by medical terms accompanied by prayer. The two are to be used together, neither to exclusion of the other. So instead of teaching faith healing apart from the use of medicine, the passage teaches just the opposite. And that's why we spend time in our churches praying over people who are ill. The prayer list is important because we take the list of names of individuals who need our prayers and take them into the presence of the Lord God, praying over them. Healing by spiritual means was practiced in the early church in James' day. It was a constant ministry of Jesus. However, history demonstrates that in time it ceased. And many respected Christian scholars believe the gift of healing was granted for a short period of time. All healing is done by God, and God heals according to His will. There's a great deal of superficial parallel between what Jesus says here and the modern faith healers. James does not commercialize the use of prayer. He would never have sold magical healing cloths. James makes use of olive oil, which is one of the best medicines known in the ancient world. The disciples of Jesus anointed the sick with oil. Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan, who poured oil and wine onto the wounds of the half-dead man by the roadside. One is not to infer that James gives no credit to medicine. The oil is good. God works through medicine and without medicine. The best that we still know on this subject is this: prayer and medicine are God and the doctor. Today we prefer the doctor to the oil, but we still need God with the doctor. It's a great error for one to think that God is not to be called upon because we have a skilled physician. The minister still has a place, and a very important place, in the problems of therapeutics. The minister needs to be careful to be of help and not a hindrance in the cases of illnesses. How sad to think that many quack doctors have been preachers. The increase in the medical knowledge, the technology, the skills in our day is the gift and the grace of the Lord God to mankind. Only a fool would not call the doctor when he gets sick. It's true that our best doctors recognize that medicine and the spiritual factors are involved in the healing process. They should go hand in hand. God created the spirit, the mind, and the body as a whole, and they function together for a healthy person. The wise pastor encourages his people to take your medicine as the doctors prescribed. The anointing of the oil in the name of the Lord comes from only two verses. There is no record of a single instance of anointing with oil by Jesus. Take your medicine does not mean you do not have faith in God. It's not an issue of either or. The important thing is to trust the Lord God. Have your confidence and trust in Him and take your medicine. It's not the anointing that heals, but the praying. Trust in the Lord God and find fullness in Him. Chuck Swindoll said, "I believe in divine healing, but I do not believe in divine healers. I believe in faith healing. I do not believe in faith healers." There's a big difference. I believe that God, in His sovereign grace and power, will in fact reach down in some cases and change a condition. And I am not of the conviction that God does that apart from any individual who claims to have certain powers. May the Lord's richest blessings be yours today.